Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Niver. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Niver.
I've entitled this morning's message, How Can a Sinner Be Righteous? How can a sinner be righteous before God? Now, there is nothing we could possibly consider that would reach the importance of us knowing the answer to that question. How can a sinner be righteous? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we read, And God saw, and before I go on reading, God sees accurately. God sees things as they really are. God seeth not as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. And God sees things as they really are. As God sees, that's what's there. Now, and God saw that the wickedness of man, he's talking about all men, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that is what God sees when he looks in the heart of any natural man. Only evil continually. And somebody says, that's a hard pill to swallow. It may be, but swallow it. It's what the Word of God says. God's Word is divinely inspired, and it tells us the truth. And all you have to do is look at the cross, and you'll find out this reflects what you and I are. The one time God let men do what they wanted to do, they nailed him to a cross. Now, this is the truth. And God sees this. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. But we read in verse 8 of this same chapter, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found unmerited favor. Now, if God would have seen him as he is in himself, he couldn't do anything and wouldn't do anything for him. But Noah found grace, unmerited favor, in the eyes of the Lord, so that the Lord says this about Noah in verse 1 of chapter 7, And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. God looked at Noah, and he saw him as righteous. As a matter of fact, this is the first time the word righteous is used in the Scripture. And I know that Noah was a sinner. In all I got to do is read Genesis 9, 20 and 21. And Noah began to be an husband, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and he was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. That tells us he's a sinner right there by the things that he did. But yet God says to Noah, Thee have I seen as righteous. And God didn't need to play mind games the way you and I do to view something. When he saw Noah as righteous, there's only one reason. Because Noah really was righteous. Now, here's the question. How can a sinner like Noah, how can a sinner like me or you, actually be righteous before God? That's the most important question we could possibly consider. Now, before we can consider the answer to that question, we're going to have some definition of terms. First, what is meant by sinner, and what is meant by righteous? What does the Bible mean by these two terms? Well, for me to know what the Bible means by the term sinner, I first have to know what sin is. There's a lot of definitions I could give from the Scriptures, but this is the one I'm going to give for right now. 1 John 3, 4 says, Sin is the transgression of the law. Now, he's referring to the Ten Commandments, all the thou shalts and the thou shalt not. Sin is the transgression of that law. If I do not have a perfect standing of obedience before that law, I sin. Anything short of perfect and complete and continual obedience to the Ten Commandments is sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. If I have a lustful thought in my heart, it's sin. I've committed adultery. If I don't tell the truth, it's sin. Even if I'm saying the truth in such a way as to put another slant on it to be my advantage, it's sin. To murder my brother, to be angry without a cause, to murder his character by slander and innuendo, to be angry without a cause, to be jealous, is murder in God's sight. Sin is the transgression of the law, and the sinner is the one who sins. Now, when we put somebody in jail, we don't put the crimes in jail. We put the ones who committed those crimes in jail. God doesn't put sins into hell. He puts the one who committed the sin into hell. A sinner is the one who commits the sin. And let me tell you this about a sinner. A sinner is somebody who all he ever does is break the law. He hadn't kept one commandment one time. He looks at the Ten Commandments and he says, I've not kept them one of them one time. You see, he has some understanding of the breadth and the depth of the commandments. And he really believes that he hasn't kept one commandment one time. Now, do you believe that you've kept any of God's commandments? Remember, the Bible doesn't recognize partial obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. It's only perfect and complete obedience that God accepts. A sinner is someone who all they do is sin. They've not kept one commandment one time. Okay, what is meant by righteous? When I ask, how can a sinner be righteous? What does the Bible mean by righteousness? Well, it means no sin. If you're righteous, that means God's holy law, the Ten Commandments, looks you over and says, no fault. There's no sin in this person. You're perfect. You're righteous. You're without fault. You've never had a bad thought. You've never said a bad word. There's never been a bad deed. If you're righteous, that means you stand before God's law without fault. Now, how can a sinner be righteous? Seems impossible, doesn't it? If all I've done is broken the law, how can I stand before God's law without guilt and without sin? How can a sinner be righteous? Well, God says concerning Noah, thee have I seen as righteous before me. There was once a publican. You can read about this in Luke chapter 18, a tax collector. And he was standing in the back of the temple. There was a Pharisee that was up at the front of the temple saying, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. And he goes on to name all the things that he did do and didn't do. He said, I thank you that I'm not like this publican, this pathetic excuse of a human being. And he felt himself to be that way, the publican. He was beating on his breast. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He's crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He believes himself to be the most sinful man alive. And he's crying for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ said regarding to that man, making that plea, he said, I say unto you, he went down to his house justified. The religious fella went down to his house condemned under the power of sin, condemned by God. But this man who was a sinner went down to his house justified. Rather than the other. Not merely forgiven. That would be a great blessing, but not merely forgiven, but justified, not guilty. By his own confession, he was sinful, yet Christ said, he's justified. He has no sin. Now, how can that be? When God said this to Noah, thee have I seen as righteous before me, he did not say, thee have I seen as sinful. However, I will not treat you as if you were sinful, but I will treat you as if you were righteous. That wouldn't be right. That'd be wrong for God to do that. He said, thee, and I carefully say that because I don't want to, well, I'm not judging what God does, but God always does what's right. If he sees somebody sinful, he's not going to say, well, I see you sinful, but I'm not going to treat you that way. I'm going to treat you as righteous. No, God saw him as righteous for one reason, because he was righteous. Thee have I seen as righteous before me. Not as sinful, but I'm going to treat you as if you weren't, and I'm going to treat you a different way. No, God's always fair. He's always just. He's always righteous. And he looked at Noah and said, thee have I seen as righteous before me. Now understand, the whole human race is divided into two groups, the righteous and the wicked. There's no third group. There's no intermediate group. When God looks at me, when God looks at you, he either sees someone who is righteous or he sees someone who is wicked, someone who does nothing but break his law, someone who does nothing but sin. Now, this is a very interesting fact. All of the wicked, without exception, believe themselves to be righteous. And all of the righteous, without exception, believe themselves to be wicked. Isn't that interesting? The wicked believe either that they are righteous or they have the potential to be righteous. He may be a drug pusher or a murderer, but he thinks, well, if the circumstances were right, I could be. If I would have been given a better environment, I could do better. He may think, well, at least I have the power of free will and I can choose to be good whenever I decide to. All the wicked think they can be righteous or at least potentially righteous. And all the righteous believe themselves to be wicked, and the only righteousness they have is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how can Noah, how can I, how can you actually be righteous before God? Only the Bible answers that question. Now, listen real carefully. First, for a sinner to be righteous before God, he can only be righteous by virtue of being united with, being one with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great mystery that I'm talking about. It's not something that can be intellectually comprehended, just believed. The mystery of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. They're not two. They're not simply close together. They're one. I'm one with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that who he is, I am. What he did, I did. If I'm one, if I'm united to him. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9, it was said of Levi that he paid tithes. He paid tithes to Melchizedek, because he paid them when he was in the loins of his father Abraham. Levi was the great-grandson of Abraham. But when Abraham paid those tithes to Melchizedek, Levi paid those tithes to Melchizedek, because what Abraham did, Levi did, because Levi was in him. God's people are in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that what he does is what they do. I believe one of the most beautiful illustrations of this is found in Matthew chapter 3 at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he comes to John to be baptized, and you put yourself in John's position. How would you feel if Christ said, I want you to baptize me? John felt utterly unworthy. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And the Lord answered him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Notice it didn't say, thus it becomes me to fulfill all righteousness, but thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Everything Christ did, he did as an us. He did what he did for somebody, everybody in him, everybody who is united to him. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in the world. Is he righteous? Then I'm righteous, because I'm one with him, I'm in him, so that I am actually the very righteousness of God. Because he's the righteousness of God, and because he's the righteousness of God, I am too. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That's what the Bible says. I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't in there, but it's in there. Every believer is nothing less than the righteousness of God because they're united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteous by union. How can a sinner be righteous before God? Righteous by imputation. I want to read a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. How can a sinner be righteous? Now, I am a very sinful man. That's just the truth regarding me. And it's the truth regarding you. I am a very sinful man. But here's my hope. My hope is that God does not charge me with my sin, but that He lifted His sin, my sin, off of me and put it on Christ, and it became His sin. He became guilty of it. My sin was imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He died on Calvary's tree. God didn't look at him and say, now I know you didn't do this, and I know you're innocent, and I'm punishing you for somebody else. No, not at all. He was forsaken by God. He suffered the wrath of God. He was in utter darkness. He died the way an unbeliever would die. He died under the wrath of God. Now, he never sinned in his person. He never committed a sin. Even on the cross when he was made sin, he never committed a sin. He remained holy, but all that sin is, he was made to be, and he was guilty of that sin. You know, in Isaiah 53, when it says he opened not his mouth, he didn't try to defend himself. The reason he didn't try to defend himself is because he knew he was guilty. My sin was imputed to him, it became his, and his righteousness, just as truly as my sin became his righteousness is imputed to me. You know, the Bible never speaks of imputed righteousness. It never uses imputation as an adjective to describe a righteousness, like maybe there's some other kind, but it always talks about righteousness imputed. There's only one righteousness. That's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that righteousness is imputed to me so that I stand before God without guilt. Righteous by imputation. What a wonderful thought. Righteous by imputation. Righteous by union. Righteous by imputation. In Romans 5:17, we read, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Righteousness is a gift. It's a gift that God gives. It's not something you work out and earn. It's the free gift of God's grace given to everybody that Christ died for. Righteousness is called a gift. The gift of God, the unspeakable gift. And what is the evidence that He's given it to you? You receive it. You receive this gift, you really believe that the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is your righteousness before God. God gave it to you. My righteousness is not based upon the righteousness of Christ. My righteousness is the righteousness of Christ, which God has given me and I've received. I really believe that Jesus Christ, this perfect obedience, is my righteousness before God. If you want to know the truth about me, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's the truth about me. The perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is my righteousness before God, righteous by gift. And then, also, the believer is righteous by nature. Righteous by nature. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Righteous by nature. Now, Romans 3, verse 10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, if that's true, how could this be true? He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. How can that be true? Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. This is what happens when someone is born again, born from above. They're given a new nature. They're given a holy nature. They're given a righteous nature. He that doeth righteousness. They now have the fruit of God the Holy Spirit, a holy nature, a righteous nature that is imparted to them in the new birth. Now, the best way I can explain this is the Scripture teaches that when Adam sinned, his sin was charged to me and you. It's ours. God holds us responsible for what Adam did, because when he did it, we did it too. Romans 5:12 says, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, and that all sinned. When Adam sinned, you and I sinned. His transgression was charged to us. But not only was his transgression charged to us, his sinful nature is imparted to us. We have his seed, so that when we're born sinners. Original sin. We're born corrupt. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go about as soon as they be born, speaking lies, the Scripture says. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. We're born that way. We have his Adam's nature. In the same manner, when Christ saves someone, his obedience is imputed to them so that it becomes theirs. I'm righteous by imputation, but his nature is imparted to them in the new birth. Peter says we're actually made partakers of the divine nature, so that now we are righteous by nature. A new nature, one that we did not have before God gave us a new birth. So how can a sinner be righteous before God? Well, righteous by virtue of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteous by imputation, Christ's righteousness being imputed to me. Righteous by a divine gift, God giving me this righteousness. Righteous by nature, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Righteous by faith. His faith is counted for righteousness. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean, and I think this is the way many people look at it, and this is a wrong way to look at it, well, God takes faith instead of righteousness. He's lowered the terms. We messed it up. None of us can give perfect obedience, and therefore God lowered the terms and He'll accept faith instead of righteousness. No, that's not what that means. You see, faith is no substitute for perfect righteousness. It's not at all. What's it mean then? According to the Scriptures, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's the evidence of things not seen. If you can see something, you don't need faith. Faith is for that which you cannot see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is what you cannot see. Now, I cannot see my eternal union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't see how that I was one with Him before time began. I cannot see how I've always been carried in Him and that I've always been in Him. I just can't see that. I can't even grasp it. I can't grasp how I've always had personality before God, and He's always loved me and always knew me. You know, I was born in 1959, and as far as I don't have any conscious existence before then, but God's always known me. Now, how do I know that? I can't see it. By faith. Everybody that believes the gospel has always been united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the evidence that they've always been united to the Lord Jesus Christ is faith. I cannot see how righteousness was imputed to me. I don't have a paper or a document that guarantees me that righteousness has been in fact imputed to me. I can't bring up some kind of sales slip that lets me, like a sales slip that lets you know you paid for it and that you got it. No, not at all. I can't see that righteousness has been imputed to me. Well, how do I know it has? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You see, I am relying on Jesus Christ right now as my righteousness before God. And that is the evidence that His righteousness has been imputed to me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, I cannot see that righteousness has been given to me as a gift. I don't remember Him handing it to me or Him placing it within me. It's not something I can see. Well, how do I know that He's given me this gift? Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Right now, as I said, I'm looking to Christ only as everything God requires of me. I'm hanging on to Him. And that's the evidence that His righteousness has been given to me. I can't look within my heart right now while I'm speaking to you and see, oh, I see a holy man in there. I know there's a bad man in there and a good man, and I see the good man. No, I can't see something like that. I can't look in my heart and say, well, there's a holy nature there. You see, the new man actually owns the sins of the old man. The old man wouldn't even confess. It's the new man that owns the sins of the old man and understands that. I can't look within my heart and say, oh, there's holiness there. No, I look in my heart and see sin. But what is the evidence that I have this new nature and this holy nature that I must have or I won't be saved? You must be born again. What's the evidence? Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So, justified by faith. Made righteous by faith. So this is how a sinner, a real bona fide sinner, somebody who's guilty, somebody who's all they've done is sin. That sin's their nature, sin's their name. That individual can actually be righteous before God. That's the best news I've ever heard. Truly righteous. Where God looks at me, I'm righteous. Righteous by union with Christ. Righteous by imputation. Righteous by divine gift. Righteous by nature. And righteous by faith. David said in Psalm 71:16, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. And there's only one reason why he speaks of only one righteousness, because there's only one righteousness. That's the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness of Christ. That's the righteousness that a sinner is justified by. Thank God for His gospel. We'd like to invite you to services at Todd's Road Grace Church. We meet Sunday school this morning 9:45, morning worship at 10:30, evening at 6. And if you want this message, we can send it to you on DVD or CD. Call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.